Blog Talk Radio.
Big Ken.
Well, sir, Reverend Pinky, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I mean, still in California, so.
You think you something because you're out there with all that good weather.
Yeah, I don't know if it's good today. It seems to me like it's about 90 out here today.
Oh, wow. We're in the 40s here.
Yeah, I'm in the high desert, though, so it gets pretty warm up here.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. You when you're in the desert, it get too hot.
Yeah. Hey, Amy and Gloria won't be on today. She said she's going to pick up Amy in Philadelphia. She's coming on a bus, so she said they wouldn't be on.
Oh, okay. 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 Well, you know that's unfortunate because I want to make sure that Gloria give us our report and also take our notes.
Right. She said she would read off the reports next week, but that don't do us any good right now.
Yeah, that don't do us any good at all. Absolutely. But that's okay. We just have to do what we do.
Right. How many people do we have on right now?
17.
Oh, okay.
You know. So give it a couple of more minutes. When we get about 25 to 30, then we'll kick it off.
So do we have a good week last week on the regular radio show?
Yeah, I sent you the report.
240,000,
something like that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I was reading that right or not. I said, man, that's excellent.
Yeah, I think it's 200. I'm not sure exactly off the top of my head, but I think it was 256,000 people listening to the show on Sunday, and I thought that was incredible, and it's amazing too because a lot of people have been calling me about the Dr. Glidden too, and I tell them, call them, you know, don't ask me the question. Call them and ask them the questions.
Yeah, because that's a very good product.
Oh, I agree with you. Matter of fact, me and my wife been taking that tangy juice. I think that's what it is.
Tangy tangerine, yes.
Yeah, tangy tangerine. That's some pretty good stuff. Matter of fact, I would, you know, I can definitely recommend that for real.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if I didn't believe in it, I wouldn't push it. I'm just hoping that you can sell enough of it that you can make some money to help sponsor stuff that you're doing and we're doing. You know, that's
absolutely, man. They're going to be perfect for what we're trying to do. You know, and that way we don't have to ask the TIs for any money, because I know how difficult it is for some of them to even do anything. I know one thing: if you don't have the resources, it makes it very difficult to do what you have to do. And that's why I usually have a fundraising dinner every year, just to balance the books for ourselves and keep us moving. So it's been great. But what I'm going to do now, I think we let's get into the show and tell you some of the things that happened this week, which really turned out excellent. Hey, it looked like Amy is on the line.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's great. Let me get her in here. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We got 64 people so far.
That's
okay.
Good.
Yes, 64 people. Amy, you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinky. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, I'm almost in Pennsylvania.
Bless your heart, girl. I know you can't talk loud because you're on the bus.
Yeah, I'm almost here. And you know what, Reverend Pinky? It's crazy. We really got to fight to get our people out this program because It's sad. I'm up here listening to Alex Jones' show, but they were trying to put me in a hypnosis trance to go to sleep. And I woke up, and I snapped up out of the trance. Do you know they just start attacking me because I'm listening to Alex Jones' show, and they try to dictate, to try to send a message to torture me to dictate who I can listen to on the show and not, and who I can. I called my Muslim family and told them to write me a letter so when I do go to the Nation of Islam, I'm going to give it to Mr. Farrakhan. Staff
and
well.
You know, Mr. Farrakhan, he's been all over the city of all over the state of Michigan just lately. Since Ken's been gone, I guess Farrakhan say he can come on in and do his thing.
Yeah, it
looks good. See how that works, Ken? When you leave for California, then he comes in.
That's good. We need absolutely.
Hey, On Tuesday, I went and I met with Thomas again. I went to that with all the clergies, the one you and I went to, Ken.
Yeah.
And Thomas was there. And he spoke, and as a matter of fact, he said that I should be there, I should come after the holiday and sit down and have our talk. So that was a good thing. And also on yesterday, on Tuesday when I was in Chicago, I went by Bobby Rush's office, and I actually, what I did to make sure that I want him and Danny Davis and Duckworth, Tammy Duckworth, I want them three to be in Washington when we go, and I'm almost positive they're supposed to call me back today, but unfortunately I was in Grand Rapids this morning. And I don't see anywhere else where they called me. There was a couple of private calls, but they're supposed to call me back today to verify the appointment for Washington, D.C. So so far it haven't happened, so I'm just looking forward to it. Also on Wednesday, Elvira has set up for us to talk to Kanye's office, which she did a tremendous job speaking about it, and she was very good at what she said. But sometimes, you know, we don't want to give them too much information right off the bat until we're able to actually communicate with the person we need to talk to. So that was good. That was good. Also, Ed Asner, you know, I sent him some tapes this week, and I don't know when we're going to be able to communicate with him or whatever, but in the letter I indicated to him I just wanted him to start talking about it, and also I wanted him to come on my radio show. So we'll see how that worked out. One other thing, Danny Glover's office, they're going to send somebody here, and maybe we'll get a chance to one of his aides coming here to overlook something. They're going to be at our meeting in August, and so you know we doing that. So that sounds like something that might come about. But the key is, I want people to start talking about this as much as you can. But I want to read this letter that I received from one of the TIs. So I want you to bear with me until I can get through with this, because this is a pretty interesting letter. It says, "Dear Reverend Pinckney, I regret the need for this letter because I sincerely believe that you are the best friend we as TIs have met. We have sadly reached an indispensable barrier. My heart goes out to the family of the young man who died recently and was the subject of much of your Sunday talker cast. And I certainly understand your love and loyalty to your own personal family." I don't know where that comes from. "And I appreciate your yielding to help where you can to all those who have suffered unjustly. Here's where we differ. I serve the God of the Bible, my Creator and Savior. I do not believe it is a matter of calling him a different name. He had called himself several different names, but none of them are Allah or Buddhist or any of the over 2,000 names given to different gods in the East. I truly believe that Jesus meant clearly what he said, 'No one comes to the Father except by me.' I was totally with you when you open the first call, I visit with a prayer to the Lord Jesus. And when I ask you who you serve, you said God. Perhaps on my part, I should have asked further at that time. Recently, I've been reading through the Bible and just finished much of the Judges. They are not in Babylon yet, but it is clear already why they ended up there over and over again, mixing of gods. Because a snare to them, the chosen people went right on adding other gods to their list. Despite the first commandment, I have always had trouble understanding how they could keep on doing it, but it is become clear and how easy it is. My prayer is still that God will help us out of this mess, but if I add one other God to my list, he is not obligated at all to help. I must stick with him alone. Then she goes on to say, please return the affidavit I sent to you. I have enclosed a stamp address envelope for their return. May God bless you and keep you. Lonnie Oglesby. Very interesting. Here's my situation here. First of all, I don't know what she's talking about. Second of all, she's not doing me a favor. I'm working with the TIs because I want to. I'm not expecting anything from the TIs. I don't expect no money. I don't expect nothing. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. That's the only reason. That's the only reason I'm doing this. And anytime someone don't want to work with me, it's okay. So here's what I did. I did have three extra copies of her affidavit, and I burnt them. That way they won't be in my house. For whatever reason she sent the letter, I don't know. I don't know what she's talking about. I don't have a clue what this lady is talking about. And I don't care. That's the best part. But I want to make sure people understand how I feel in reference to this thing. I don't care about what other people feel or think about different things. My job is one. I got one job here. That's to help the TIs. Basically, by getting the word out, encouraging people to believe that this stuff is actually happening or happening to them. And number two, to see can I ease the pain of what this government is doing to the people. That's it. I don't have, you know, that's all I want to do. I got enough to do. I do more by 8 o'clock in the morning than most people do in a whole week. Every single day I'm going to Grand Rapids. I'm going Kalamazoo. I'm going to Chicago. I'm going all over. And it's not because I want to go. It's because it's the right thing to do to help somebody. So that's what this is all about. I think that the things that we're doing is incredible. We're in the best position we ever, the TIs has ever been in. I know that we're going to get a hearing. I know that. I know that we're going to be able to sit down with these people. Regardless what they say, the most important thing, that they know that we know that this stuff is happening. That's how I feel. And I think it's important that we let people know so they can believe. Just like Ali, you were saying that they didn't want you to listen to Alex Jones. They didn't want you to listen to anybody who might tell the truth. They do not want that. So we have to stand up and fight them any way we can. And that's the only thing I know how to do. I don't know how to do anything else. And the most important thing, I don't do things for money. I do things because it's the right thing to do. And we're trying to get this product out there, which is a very good product, and we're utilizing that money. That money will be used for whatever adventure that we take part in. If we have to go to Washington, there's going to be times when people don't have money to go to Washington. And as a group or as a community, we should be able to help them. If we can't help them, then we're no good to nobody else. But that's what I had to read that to you, because to me it's important that people know exactly what's going on and where I stand with this stuff. I don't, like I said, I don't do things for money. I do things because it's the right thing to do, and that's what I do. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. So
and you know, Reverend Payne, if somebody don't want to work with you, we're not begging to work with you. If they don't like what they're seeing, then go your way. See if you can settle it on your own.
And Kenya, that's how I feel. Cause see, one of the things that I have discovered, we fight so much among ourselves. That's why the TIs don't get nothing done. I mean, every single week, one or two TIs have issues. I've been with my organization over 15 years. I have more issue with the TIs than I have with my whole organization. But I understand that it's really not them. They're being controlled and to do this. You should hear one person called me up one time and told me, "Well, Rabbi, I don't want to work with you no more." I said, "Okay," and I said, "Then hang up. It's just that simple." No, but they would still want to talk, and I guess they wanted me to talk them out of it, but I didn't do it. I don't do that. You don't want to work? Don't work. It's simple. It's so simple for us to just get this thing done. We got a big fight ahead of us. This is a major battle we got, trying to get them to hear what we say and trying to stop this crap from happening. You talking about over a million TIs in this country? There's over a million of us. So we have to deal with it the way it is. Right. And Ken, you're absolutely correct. If they don't want to work, don't work. It's simple. You don't even have to call and tell me. Just don't do it. It's simple. Yeah, but
exactly.
I just want to throw that in there, not to spoil anything like that, but I just want to make sure that people understand how I feel and why I'm doing this more than anything else. Even our radio show, you get 250,000 people listening to what we're saying every Sunday. And we don't, you know, our goal is to have 1 million people. And they get a chance at 6 o'clock to hear somebody from the TI community talk about TIs. That's nowhere in the world are people just gonna talk about it. And every single Sunday that I'm on the radio, you will hear from the TIs and the TI community. Cause right now I'm connected with them. Cause I'm what I want to do more than anything else. I want to make sure that we get some of these issues resolved. But listen. Amy, how close are you to Philadelphia now?
Well, I get there at 9 tonight, and Glow won't pick me up.
Well, you're close. You 2 hours away.
Right.
Okay.
I sure did. And let me tell you something, Reverend Pinckney. Glow told me that she is her congresswoman got back to her. So that she wanted to set up the meeting with her. And do you know my congressman, George Miller?
Do I know him? I don't know him personally, but I heard about him.
Okay, well, I'm getting ready to call mine, too, and then in Washington, and I'm going to try to set him up to play him to call you as well.
Okay, and then what we're going to do, we're going to try to set him up for the same day that we meet with everybody else, because that's really what I want. I want, you know, to have four or five reps or senators together when we speak and give them an opportunity to hear what we got to say.
Right.
So I'm real good with that. I'm glad. Normally, you know, they will call you back. They staff will, you know, and that's what you want. That's what you want. And then we get this opportunity to really talk about this. And let's say that we talk to them and they don't do nothing. At least they know about it. You see, and that's where we're going with this stuff. We're going to fix this stuff. We're going to fix this mess, and we're going to fight it all the way to the end. But we got to get bigger, and we got to get stronger. That's the key,
okay,
Amy. We can't, now we got 127 people on the board, all right? But listen to this. That's not a whole lot when it comes to the TI family. You know, probably before it's over with, we'll probably have 200, maybe 225 people. But that's, once again, I can't say how many people listen in because I don't think we can hold no more than 250 on the board. But the point is, what I'm trying to say is that we have to get bigger and we have to get stronger. So that's where we at. Ken, you got something you want to say?
Yeah, I can say one thing, Reverend Pink. We've never reached even 200,000. We've never reached 100,000. at one time. So I think you made great strides in what you've done and what we've done. So I didn't expect this to be solved overnight. If anybody else is, then they're delusional.
Absolutely, and it's not going to be. This is going to be a mission. It's going to take. It might take us a year or two, but in order to really to sit down. But the key is, we got to make all the necessary arrangements, the steps to get this thing done. You know, and I just wish that we just didn't fight with each other so much. I mean, we got a bigger goose to cook around here than each other. So we have to learn to do the things that need to be done. But look, I'm going to Amy. You got something you want to say, Amy? Okay, let me. I'm gonna bring in Elvira right fast. Elvira, are you there? Okay,
yes,
I'll go to somebody else.
Hello.
Yeah. Elvira.
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
What's happening with you?
Well, I still have to. I needed to talk to you to find out what the next step is.
Oh, okay.
You know? And I wasn't going to do another step before speaking to you.
Okay. Well, once we fax all that paperwork to them, then then we set up the meeting, and.
Yeah.
Then we're gonna meet directly with Conyers. We're not, instead of his aide on that issue. But my only issue with meeting with Conyers, he's 80 something years old. You know, he can't hardly remember. You know, what time it is. You know, that he's supposed to be places. That's the only thing I'm my concern with him. But he's very forgetful. You know, every time I see him, he always tell me to call him, and. I tell you, he gave me 25 cards to call him. So, when he runs out of cards, I can give him some of my cards. But we just want to stay focused, so we know what the next step is.
Well, I'll tell you soon when we talk what to do.
Okay. All right, we'll talk about that, okay?
What probably work on that subject.
Okay. All right, sounds good. That sounds real good to me. That sounds good.
Okay,
well, I'm going to move on.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, 484-343-3911.
Yes.
Yes, Reverend Pinckney here.
This is Flojo Mason here.
Hey, Flojo.
Yes. How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
We're doing fine. In spite of what everybody else wants to say.
Today.
Huh?
I had a conversation with them today. We'll talk about that off the air.
Yeah, we'll talk about it, but we're not in the room. I told you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're here and whatnot. We're being picked up and taken care of when nobody came through to do what we needed them to do. But, again, we're okay, in spite of all the naysayers and the people who wanted to sit up there and have something really negative to say, instead of heeding the call and understanding that we all should work together, whether people are TIs or not, and whether people understand certain things, whether when you make a call out for people to activate and move, they should do so. It's not only just about what's hurting you. It's about what you let hurt other people. And if you're sitting up there and letting things hurt other people and not doing what you're supposed to do to get out there and make sure that person is not hurting, then the problem lies with you, not with everybody else. Because you're the type of person that can sit there and watch other people go through pains and trouble and then only want people to hear your pains, but you can never hear nobody else's.
That's a real, real good point. That's a real good saying. We'll talk after the show more about that.
I just wanted to let you know that we're okay. Me and
okay,
my children are fine.
That's great.
And we'll always live well.
Is this a cell phone number that you have? that I see on the board?
I just borrowed it from somebody because I figured you would be on the air, and I just wanted to let you know and Ms. Avira know that we're on our way back to Philly right now, and we're good.
Okay. That's all. Hey, that's beautiful.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right, then.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Great. How are you doing today?
Good. Let me start in my own little unique way. Bonjour. Guten Tag. Kakosi. Ohayou gozaima. Aloha. The reason why I'm saying hello in many languages, shalom. I'm not familiar totally, and I always mess it up when I try to do the Muslim. Is because most people don't know that in every foreign language they have a hello, a goodbye, a I love you, bless you. And the question really comes down to that even though most of us don't know other languages, these are still people around the world. And the thing that I'm finding through my grandfather's books, and my grandfather, just for everybody's reminder, he was a Mason, and I didn't know about it. He was also a New World Order guy, which is also now known as Singularity. It is also known as, the New Jerusalem Bible. It's actually their mission plan. And in it, one of the things they really want to do is they want to pit good people against each other in the world.
Yes.
It's a class race. It's a financial. It's a religious issue. Any type of differences that they can exacerbate in you, no matter who you are that is a targeted individual, they will exploit. And the one thing that really is sadly the thing that most of us get lost in, and please know, I was raised Catholic. I am not thrilled with the hierarchy of the Catholic Church that allowed for the rape and abuse of its children and women and others. It was also sadly responsible for slavery throughout most and many murders throughout most of history, and is now into sexual slavery and abuse of children. But there are good Catholics. And so one of the things I've seen in these books is that these people who are living in evil, who work from a place of evil, that is the thing that binds them together. They have people in every denomination, every culture, every class, every stratification, up to leadership and all the way down to the poor. They have gone beyond the limits that most people allow for those holy books or their belief systems to cause to set people aside. This is what they depend on. Because you see, in the books that I've seen, their inferences are, and this book goes back to the days of Saladin. Saladin was the Sultan of the Muslims during the battle for Jerusalem, in which they eventually won over the Knights Templar, who wanted war, and the Knights Templar was loyal to the Pope. And the King of Jerusalem back in the day was a very honorable young prince, young king, that their word was their honor, and there was no mincing words. And so, too, was the king or the sultan of known as Saladin. And it was, unfortunately, those who wanted war and those who wanted to cause angst and turmoil and to get riches and property and entangle and entrench and brutalize human beings against each other, which has been the entire wrapped-up system. So my thought is, no matter what you believe in, these people don't care what books you read. And my question will go out to everyone. Will you not consider the possibility that, number one, the first thing is that Allah means Lord frontwards and backwards. It means Lord. The other is, are we willing to fight and be pitted against each other for the demise of all of humanity and the gifts and the precious life for all of our futures, because evil is willing to pit us against us and we're not willing to take off the blinders and see that the divinity, and my belief is that God is so powerful that if God can put on the lips of every person on this planet a different language that means hello, words that mean I love you, words that mean bless you, and they say them to each other, doesn't that mean that God's word, God, the power of the universe, by whatever name, is stronger than any books written? And please know, please do not take this offensively. Does God come before the books, or the books come before God? No matter what you call that, I'm not willing to harm another human being when I've traveled around the world who has been a genuine, good human being, who wants peace, who wants love, who wants kindness, who wants protection and safety. Evil is what is at the heart of this issue, not goodness, not kindness, evil. That is the one thing we must be willing to stand up against and unify against. And that doesn't mean go out and battle it. For me, that means unplug from it. Reverend Pinckney?
Yes.
Any questions?
I truly understand where you're going with this, but continue. I want you to take it. Go ahead, so people can understand exactly where we're going. We need this thing to be explained, and I think you do a great job explaining it.
Well, the unfortunate thing is that part of the TI community is that these are done in columns, okay? So think of when you begin hearing people's stories, as many colors as there are in the crayon box anymore, there used to be only 8, and then it went to 16, and more and more and more, they have every amount of money at their disposal, that this is a huge rainbow plus of different types of issues, and they're attacking people in their most vulnerable places. And it typically starts very slow, and it can actually be for someone's entire life, and they didn't even know they were being manipulated, that they can be sexually abused, they can be electronically abused, be zapped with energy weapons. And just for anyone who may not know what those are, please look up synthetic telepathy. Please look up the Voice of God on YouTube. You can actually go to YouTube and put in videos and then look at those. There are a great deal of information out there. There was one video I watched recently, and it's called Neuroscience Experiments, Human Version 2.0. Neuroscience Experiments, Human Version 2.0. And in it was a scientist who was talking about how he is literally helping to design an artificial brain, and how back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, they began to double the amount of capacity for a computer every year. And so they began getting ahead of themselves. And this scientist actually works in China. He's an American or a Northern European. I don't know if he's from London or from America. Didn't say. But he actually works in a Chinese university. And he actually went in front of DARPA. Now, DARPA is a federal agency that does a lot of secret work, and they kind of push the boundaries of what many of us could not even begin to imagine. Now, this is something he said, and he kind of giggled, I felt, more in embarrassment for the scientific community. He said that they had actually developed what was known as a gay bomb. Now, here's the intention of the gay bomb, and he actually said that this was quietly dropped, but the gay bomb was a pulsing of energy into people's ears, in which it would then cause the libido or the sexual desire of a soldier to increase with such almost like explosive capability. So, you know, the main sexual organ is the human brain, and they were able to isolate in it and get the brain to get into such a ravenous desire that the idea was that the soldiers would be so busy raping each other that they could not shoot. They could not shoot. Now, for anyone who is paying attention right now on this planet, our military, U.S. military, have been embroiled in rape brutality of each other for decades. And it's not just rape. There are aspects of sexual slavery and torture and abuse that is happening on these bases. I was an officer in the military. Please know there are very good military members, but there is also an element of criminality, secret societies that are running through these. Every organization that is about wanting power and control and hate and harming other human beings. When we can turn around and turn away from civility, and civility is not a dual-edged sword, and that's something that for the listeners you need to begin thinking of words that have a play on words. Okay, so civility to me means that I'm not going to harm a person, I'm not going to brutalize a person. Everybody has a right to have their life, they have a right to have their dreams and to not be manipulated, abused, or even criminally violated, no matter what that is. Unfortunately, there are those out there that think a sucker is born every day, that if you give me the shirt off your back, as many of us or, you know, people who believe in that kind of golden rule of you can help other people if you have that ability to do so, some people believe that not only do they get to take your shirt without your permission, but they may take whatever else you have, and they operate below the letter of the law, so they find the loopholes and they collapse these systems. Now again, going back to the books that I read, that the Catholic Church in 1809, it's called The Catholic Educator, indicated that no Catholic of the time was allowed to be in the Masons because the Masons at the higher level of the Masonic order was Freemasons, were involved in the collapse of governments. That was what they were involved in. And yet in about 1957 or so, the Catholic Church began to become more Masonic in its environment. The Pope actually wears symbolic symbolism such as the shell. Sometimes you'll see almost like a conch shell or a shell, as in a seashell. That is a symbol that typically indicates it's hollow, that it's not real, that it has very little spirituality associated to. This is not about offending Catholics or any other group of people, but it's we need to begin understanding the duality of the words. And the unfortunate thing is a lot of individuals who have been targeted individuals, it's not just about losing their jobs. They've often had pets that have been killed, poisoned. They've had their loved ones attacked or even possibly killed. I certainly have a gentleman by the name of Bruce Reinhardt. He was a very dear friend of mine for many years after leaving the military and going through a very bad divorce. And he would be the most honorable and ethical man I met. And about 4 years into our friendship, and he was a very close confidant, he always maintained absolute impeccable boundaries, never overstepped them ever, even when I was the most vulnerable. This was a true gentleman and a true man. And when I told him I had come to realize that I loved him, and his sister would tell me that she expected a call telling me that we were engaged. She didn't expect a call to tell me that he was dead. And I was told that if I keep talking about the rapes in the military, that I would be next, that Bruce was killed by poison, an untraceable poison at that. So my concern is that we are good people. when you look at who the TI community are, I wasn't a racist. I certainly was not a person that let other people bully anybody. When I was in the military, I made sure that the enlisted and those who were actually on welfare in the 80s, that they actually had food on their table, regardless of what color or religion they were. And we did, in fact, have military members who were on welfare in the 1980s. This is unacceptable in America when you have men and women that are fighting and ready to fight at any time. I would also witness as there was a great deal of corruption, and yet I could have very easily spent a great deal of your taxpayers' dollars, but I'm blessed that my mother and father said, all people work for this money. We put in so that you can be responsible. And so rather than just allowing for that, I went by the rules that were written in front of me, which also included to not follow any illegal orders. I actually had a female JAG, which is a Judge Advocate General. A Judge Advocate General is the equivalent of a prosecutor. And she gave me a briefing, as well as other people on the base, that we were not allowed to follow illegal orders. Now, illegal orders can be anything that was contrary to our written paperwork, our job descriptions. It could be someone telling me that I should have gone out and beat up somebody because they were a different religion, they were a different race. It could have been when I could have given them a punishment when, in fact, the punishment had no evidence that was clear-cut and would have contrarily impacted negatively their family life, their financial life, as well as their own promotions within the military. So I was one of those people that honored the written rules, and I would not go with the allowance of any illegal orders, which also included not allowing for the abuse of women and children, spouses, or anyone. And this is what I've been punished for, is because I dared to say, armed military members, men, women, children, because family members and their spouses are also military, they serve a vital role of safeguarding, protecting, supporting, and being there and holding the fort down, literally and figuratively, so that when military members come home from hard days' work, as well as from war or any type of exercise, that they can be supported and taken care of, knowing that they're supposed to be a grateful nation behind them. So when I dared to even stand up on multiple situations in which there were equipment or military weapon systems that would not work to take care of, keep safe our men and women in service that would put hundreds of thousands of their lives at risk, I said, I'm not looking away. I went and addressed it. I raised that flag and said, I'm sorry, but we are putting our own men and women at risk. This was a national security issue, and yet I have been told numerous times privately that by doing what I was told the rules were, that I was being subjected to being punished, gang raped, brutalized. I would be raped and brutalized, drugged and raped multiple times for standing up and making sure our men and women had food on their table, that I would be brutalized multiple times for making sure that aircraft had bombs that would work, that their weapon systems would work. This is why I'm being punished. This is why they've collapsed my life. This is why I've been attacked, grabbed around the throat, grabbed in the crotch at work. Two different jobs. When I saved a $10 million contract for a significant bank in this country, I was fired for bogus reasons. When I saved $9.3 million for a state in this country, for the governor, to make sure that they kept $9.3 million, I got fired from that job. This has been my life. I've had my houses broken into, cards from my mother who's now deceased, disappear, salt shakers, the gas turned on, pets poisoned, files taken, even my veterans files taken. I have witnessed and been subjected to torturous brutalization and witnessed it in the VA by some of these same people that are trying to shatter and break down these good men and women who we were proud of, who were the best and the brightest in our cities, in sports, good kids that would go out and pick up trash, men and women who were on your student councils, who volunteered to read to children in your schools, who would babysit and you knew your children were safe, that would volunteer to take care of some of the disabled kids with summer camps, like Dave Carey, who is a dear friend of mine, who was killed because of the cruel abuses that he knew, and he was a good man. This stuff is going on all over the country and all over the world, and the most that these TIs have done is be good, ethical human beings that you would gladly have in your community, because you knew if a $20 bill fell out of your back pocket, that most of these TIs that I know of would gladly hand you that $20 and not expect anything back. That's who we are being victimized. These are the people who are being victimized. I do believe that there is a part of the population of some of these people who are participating in this, tracking, abusing, are unwitting. They don't know the history of these TIs. They have been told something. For instance, they bring in very solid Christians and say, this is a person who hates Christ. This is a person, and please know with the technologies today, you can pretty much make up anything. You can literally change people's voices and the communication. It's very easy to do. And most good Americans who may be participating in this, who are really truly patriots, are seeing falsified documentation or evidence that is putting these TIs in a bad light. And they're doing this believing that they're trying to help make America strong. So before you begin, if you are one of those people, before you begin to go after another human being, ask yourself, with whatever Bible or holy book that you read, would your God, by whatever name, and please, I do not mean offense by this, would the God, the one that created all of us, would he be pleased with what you are doing to destroy a good human being? Bother to check. Bother to ask. Bother to find out who we were and who we are. There are far too many people who have died, who have put a gun to their head, who have taken poison and overdoses. This is not a kind life. This is not a thing that I believed in ever seeing when I was growing up, when I stood up for Vietnam vets coming home. Contrary to some of the horrific stories I saw, most of these people who are deemed TIs or who are being domestically terrorized are people who would give you money from their own paycheck to help you out when no one else will.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing, Dorothy. Dorothy, why do you think that the we can't honestly say that the governor may be doing all this, but I know that these programs are probably financed by the governor. Why do you think they target certain people?
Well, again, years ago when I was really, really shattered, and I had no clue about any of this. I had no idea of the technologies. I had none of it. I made the unwitting mistake of, because when you become very frightened, and this is what these things do, it's almost like you're believing you're going down one road and you're literally trapped in a maze. And you have no idea what has happened. You have no idea what you did. You just, follow the rules. And I made the wrong mistake a long time ago of painting my entire government with this. And I think it was more out of fear because you don't really know who's behind it and why and what's happening. So, again, let me begin by saying that I believe there are a great many good men and women in our government. I've met a lot. There were a lot of good civilians and good military veterans. And please know, I've talked to veterans who are now being frightened to death. These are good men and women who were there who would protect me when we were in the military together, and they're now being threatened and intimidated into silence. So there are those who are doing this. There are those who are honestly totally naive to it. And then there is some that are participating. Why is it happening? You know, part of me would love to believe and be very naive to the point of saying that this is all mistaken, this is all because of some wrong bit of information. But I have to keep going back to the evidence. And please know, I was a law enforcement trained in college, so I learned about crime scenes and evidence, and my professors, who are both retired police officers from Boston, Professor Lentini, Professor Mullins, Professor Ken McCormick, these were honorable and ethical men who taught us and made sure we were very specific, itemizing how to do this to get the right people. So when I even was a commander for 6.5 years in the military, I would look at the evidence and I would follow the evidence. What I'm finding, and please know I've been looking at this now for, in hindsight, going back and looking at all of it, and let me look at this. Let me kind of go backwards. The stock market crashes. You can go back to 1929. You can go back to the 1990s. There's predictions of a stock market crash in the near future. The mortgage crashes. When you look at all the scams and scandals in which you could have a CEO of a major car company get $27 million in one quarter, it wasn't long after that, and he got that in stocks and bonds, in which within not too long after that, the company would go bankrupt, and then the American government would bail him out. So part of this is, with listening audiences, begin to look at the bigger picture. Now, were the laws violated? No, not the laws that were on the books. And when I read the books of my grandfathers, one of the things they say is to honor the law, respect the law. But it also goes to talk about operating below the letter of the law. In other words, find an opportunity to exploit. It doesn't matter what you do, how you do it. It's you go ahead and you do it. And even if it ruins a person, it's okay. That's your right. This is their mentality, these criminal, evil people. And they're criminal because they find how to destroy other human lives. What I say, and this is a fix for this, so again, my thought is, why don't we have an ethics clause? Why don't we have an ethics clause in which, now that we know they operate below the letter of the law, which is what they've been doing for decades, for probably centuries if you look back far enough, and we say, we will not support anyone or any company that lies, cheats, or steals or fines below the letter of the law on how to destroy human lives, how to deny men and women who have for decades paid, when they were healthy, their life insurance, their policies, their health insurance, and yet when they needed the life-saving treatment, then they were denied. Who could honestly do this to another human being? And yet I've even heard stories, horrific stories, where some of these men and women had no idea when their spouses died unexpectedly from one of these diseases that even the company would not help to heal them. And they had the means to heal these people but denied them the insurance. The husband or the wife would then find out that somebody had privately put a $5 million insurance policy on their now dead partner, and the family that was now in financial ruin because they had spent a great deal of their money on paying for private insurance or finding or having to pay out of their own pocket, somebody else had gotten $5 million for now this dead person. This is a scam that's going on in America. Nobody owns my life except me. I was divinely made through my parents from the being that made us all. Nobody owns my patent except God and me. No one else. And yet these scams are happening, and most Americans don't even know what's going on. Why can't we have an ethics clause that if you lie, cheat, steal, or find a loophole to exploit and harm somebody that ruins and devastates their life, you no longer can work in that field. You get to go to prison. When you come out, and let's say you're come out and you make $5 million, you only get to keep what's middle class. I don't want to punish someone's family, but you get to give the mass majority of your paycheck. If you make $5 million, you get to keep maybe $65,000, $70,000, make sure your kids get to go to college, but the rest of it gets to go to paying back those people that you've destroyed, the elderly first. And it is done throughout the entire system. If it is an issue of overpopulation, we are not stupid human beings. Why can't we come together and decide how we're going to do that? I don't have children, but if somebody is in a farm community, why can't they have several more kids? Or we can see about, hey, who's not interested in having kids? Not everybody has to have children to be a loving human being and to also be willing to support and protect those kids. When it comes to Monsanto, nothing personal, but I am blessed to have been professionally trained by the U.S. military in contract negotiations. There was a storage fee. If Monsanto patent seeds blow onto someone else's land, and what they've been doing for decades is possibly not decades, but for at least a decade, I believe, that they have actually been getting their attorneys going out and suing and taking the farmer's property because one of their patented seed is now on their land. My fact is, why don't we find a way to sue Monsanto for $3 to $5 to $10 million a day because that seed is now being stored on that farmer's seed, on that farmer's land.
That's right, without his permission. But listen,
that's right.
You got about 60 seconds to clean whatever you want to say, just say it, and I got to tell everybody what we're going to be doing next.
The thing is that first begin to ask questions. Begin to ask the person, because bottom line, when you look at the old systems, the Gulag, the Russians, the Nazis, they began going after some people, and they would eventually get to everybody. There was nobody that was not affected by this. This is not just inappropriate people that are going after. These are people that have a secret plan that have no right to brutalize and harm other people who have done nothing except stand up to be good human beings on this planet.
Wow. And, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I really, really want to fight for the TIs, because I believe from my heart that they have done nothing wrong. And I believe that what you know, together we can defeat this thing. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to be in New York starting on the 6th of June to the 10th of June. And what I want to do, I want to set us up to have a forum in New York next year. They normally have this conference. Usually they have it sometime in March, but this year they have it at late. But I want to make sure that we get all the TIs together and start forming a real TI community. That's what I want to do. I want to pull all these in to come in and help us do the things that need to be done. I think that if we get out here and become a strong community family, I believe that we can stop some of this stuff from happening to everybody, because what we're going to do, we're going to open the eyes of all the people that's out here that just don't believe it's happening. There's too many people who don't believe that it's happening, but every Sunday you get a quarter of a million people listening to what the TIs are saying. And I got to say this, before they didn't believe it, but they're believing it now, because we know that it is happening, whether they like it or not. And also, those of you who are out there, it's time that we start moving forward. And I must say this, we cannot fight with each other. We are not strong enough yet to fight with each other. We got to get strong enough to fight with this problem that's circulating in this TI community. And this is for all TIs. Let's get together. Let's get this thing done together. And let's fight together, not fight each other. I think we can do that. But listen, on that note, first of all, I want to thank you so much, Dorothy. You really enlightened me. I don't know about all the other TIs that's listening, but you really put me in a position to educate me about TIs and some of the things that's happening. But unfortunately, we do not have any more time left. I want to once again say thank you so much, Dorothy, and all the other TIs. Let's stick together. Let's fight together. Let's stand together. Let's move this thing to a whole different level. And those two TIs who want to meet me in New York, I will be in New York at Pace University. I'll be there the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th. And those of you who don't have my cell phone number, get my cell phone number, call me, we can meet, and I'll set up a room at the university so we can talk, just us. So on that note, I got to say goodnight. Goodnight,
hey,
all.
Hey, Reverend Pingley?
Yeah.
See if at Pace you can find out if you can set up a Skype system.
I probably could. I don't see no reason why not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely. I probably could.
Okay.
I don't see a reason why we couldn't do it. So listen, let's talk some more. God bless you
all. Thank
you very much. I'll see y'all Sunday on the show. Good night, y'all.
Bye-bye.